A reading from the book of Esther. Queen Esther, seized with mortal anguish, had recourse to the Lord. She lay prostrate upon the ground, together with her handmaidens, from morning until evening, and said, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, blessed are you. Help me, who am alone and have no help but you, for I am taking my life in my hand. As a child, I used to hear from the books of my forefathers that you, O Lord, always free those who are pleasing to you. Now help me, who am alone and have no one but you, O Lord, my God. And now come to help me, an orphan. Put in my mouth persuasive words in the presence of the lion, and turn his heart to hatred for our enemies, so that he and those who are in league with him may perish. Save us from the hand of our enemies. Turn our mourning into gladness and our sorrows into wholeness. Verbum Domini. Lord, on a day I called for help, you answered me. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship your holy temple and give thanks to your name.
Lord, on the day I call for
me. Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets."
Verbum Domini.
When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. this line that we just heard in our responsorial psalm today, as well as our readings, they teach us to have confidence in prayer to God, and with an expectation that he will respond. Queen Esther turned to the Lord in her great need and prayed with all her heart, as the psalmist described in our psalm today. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. Esther was firmly convinced that God heard her prayers, and she entrusted her life, as well as the lives of her people, to God's care. And she begged for his protection against their enemy who sought to destroy them. Remember, Haman had been promoted to the rank of a very high official by King Ahasuerus, so he enjoyed wealth and power and honor. In fact, people would bow down and pay him homage as he would walk by. And Haman let this get to his head and became full of pride, to the point where he became furious when he found out Mordecai did not bow down before him and give him homage. Mordecai was Esther's cousin, and who was her guardian as well, before she had been chosen to be the queen. Haman took offense at this lack of honor and respect, and his injured pride made him bitter and filled with hatred toward Mordecai. And not just toward Mordecai, but to all of Mordecai's fellow Jews as well. And so he convinced the king that the Jews were being disobedient and therefore should be wiped out and destroyed. But we see in the example of Haman the lesson and warning from Proverbs 16, verse 18, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so when Mordecai found out about Haman's wicked plans and how he had convinced the king to destroy the Jewish people, he sent word to Esther, persuading her to plead with the king on behalf of their people. That sounds very reasonable. However, there was a law that anyone who approached the king in this inner court without having been called by the king first would be put to death unless the king extended his golden scepter. And Esther had reason to fear, to be anxious, because she had not been summoned to the king for 30 days. Mordecai's words must have struck her, though, as he said, "Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" In other words, who knows this was not part of God's providence, that this is the reason that you became queen, to intercede before your people, to save them from destruction. Esther was then inspired to fast and pray intensely for 3 days and was joined by Mordecai and all the Jews of the area. And her prayer is what we have in today's reading in the Mass today. In fact, I think this is the only time in the Mass throughout the year that we read from Esther. We hear from Esther in the Liturgy of the Hours, but I think this is only the first Thursday in Lent that we get a section from Esther in the lectionary. So she sees, we hear, with mortal anguish, and she has recourse to the Lord in prayer and lies prostrate on the ground from morning to evening. And so we get a glimpse of the content of her prayer in our reading today. As she says, "Help me who am alone and have no help but you, for I'm taking my life in my hand." And so besides praying for protection, she also asked God for persuasive words to say to the king, that his heart would be changed. But her prayer and hope was anchored in her conviction of God's power and also the knowledge of his saving actions of the past. So at the end of her prayer, which is not included in the reading today in the lectionary, she says, "O God, whose might is over all, hear the voice of the despairing and save us from the hands of evildoers and save me from my fear." So this is an example for us that we have this firm conviction when we pray that God is all powerful. Nothing is impossible to him. Esther also says to God in her prayer, "Ever since I was born, I have heard in the tribe of my family that you, O Lord, took Israel out of all the nations and our fathers from among all their ancestors for an everlasting inheritance, and that you did for them all that you promised." So this is another aspect recalling God's providential care for us and God's people in the past. If we're going through a stressful time, we know, "Lord, you have brought me to this point. You have not abandoned me, and I trust that you will continue to provide the grace and strength that we need." But when she finished the time of prayer and fasting, Esther readorned herself in splendor as the queen and went to the king without being summoned. And at first we're told that he looked at her with fierce anger. And Esther actually fainted, but then through God's intervention, the king's disposition suddenly changed. It changed to compassion and gentleness toward her, and he was very much open to her request. And so God answered her prayers and delivered her and her people from the wicked and destructive plans of Haman. Now, one commentary interestingly shows how we can see the four cardinal virtues at work in the story of Esther here. So the virtue of prudence is seen in Esther, Mordecai, and the Jewish people as they acted prudently in turning to God in their prayer, accompanied by fasting in their distress at the hour of great need. So they were convinced of the power of prayer united with fasting, which we also focus on during this holy season of Lent, right? That the power of prayer united with fasting. So they're convinced that this was pleasing to God and that they would obtain his help and deliverance. And they also used every human means available as well. Right? They did the best they could, but then also trusted in the Lord. The virtue of justice is seen in King Ahasuerus, who acted justly and humbly by annulling his own edict, which had called for the destruction of the Jewish people when he found out that they were innocent and had been falsely accused. So we can look at this as just the opposite of King Herod, when he had mistakenly promised to give half of his kingdom, right? Whatever that Salome wished. And in fact, when she asked for John the Baptist's head, he could have repented and humbled himself and said, I misspoke, I spoke rashly, right? But we see here King Ahasuerus did humble himself. He did go back on what he initially had decreed. The virtue of temperance is also seen in King Ahasuerus, who by God's grace subdued his anger when Esther initially came to him without being summoned first. So he had subdued his anger and listened favorably to her petition. Haman, on the other hand, allowed himself to be filled with anger and rage when he found out that he was not being honored by Mordecai. And as a result, he sought the destruction of all the Jews in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. And the virtue, finally, of fortitude is seen particularly in Esther, whose confidence in God led her to risk her life by going to the king without being summoned first to intercede on behalf of her people. She knew that the king would probably be angry when she first appeared, but she begged God to change his heart, and he did. The church has also seen Esther as a type of the Blessed Virgin Mary, right? And we get that too, again, from this reading of Esther. So we know that Esther, on account of her beauty, was raised from her low estate to be queen. And Mary, on account of the beauty of her soul and her immaculate heart, which was without stain, was raised to be the mother of the Redeemer and the Queen of Heaven. Esther alone was exempted from the king's severe law, and Mary alone was exempted from the curse of original sin. Esther, as queen, went before the king and prayed for her people and was heard. And Mary, as queen, goes before God and continues to pray and intercede for her people, for her children, for each of us. And finally, Mary, like Esther, has constant access to the king and brings comfort and assistance to those suffering. Now, the church has us read Esther's prayer today alongside Christ's teaching on prayer in Matthew 7. And we see in Esther's example how we should also ask, seek, and knock in prayer. St. Jerome commented that it's written, to everyone who asks, it will be given. So if it is not given to you, it's not given to you because you do not ask. So ask and you will receive, right? The Lord wants us to ask. He wants us to pray. And he's encouraging us today to pray with confidence and with that expectation that our Heavenly Father will respond. And in order to emphasize the goodness of God the Father, our Lord uses the example of a son asking his father for bread or fish. So if imperfect fathers feed their hungry children and don't give them harmful things or poisonous things, how much more would our Heavenly Father, who is perfect and who loves us perfectly, give good things to those who ask him? It's important to look at the context to consider what giving good things means. It doesn't always mean what we want. In the previous chapter, Matthew 6, our Lord taught that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be yours as well. So good things are things that are truly good for our souls. And St. Augustine clarified this in light of today's gospel, as he wrote, asking is that we may get healthiness of soul and to be able to fulfill all things commanded us. Seeking pertains to the discovery of truth. But when any has found the true way, he will then come into actual possession, which, however, is only open to him that knocks. So if we pray and we do not receive what we ask for or receive it when we pray for it, we can trust that God will give us what's more profitable for salvation for each of us. Again, St. Augustine would note that when God doesn't immediately give us good things when we ask, it is still for our benefit. He said, when God delays in giving, he does not deny the gifts, but makes them more agreeable. Things long desired are sweeter. Those that are quickly given spoil. By asking and seeking, the desire of attaining grows, right? It increases our desire for the good things that God wants to give us. So we can have confidence that God's answer to our prayer is truly for our good and for the others concerned. So we ask today for the grace to grow in confidence in our prayer to our Heavenly Father, trusting that no matter how he answers our prayers, it will truly be for our spiritual good.